Hello, this is Foster Brown, and thank you for being with us for hour number two of our Internet Advisor podcast. And for those folks who are listening to us on our affiliates, it's good to be with you for our second hour. Normally, we are on WJR 760 AM in Detroit, our flagship station, but there has been a football game going on during the afternoon, so we're here on a podcast, which means that we're available to you anytime you care to tune in. Got some good stuff coming. Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. And as much as I'd love to agree with that young lady, we are not taking your calls right now because this is a podcast of our program. Well, that does mean is we have an hour, second hour of the program. My name is Foster Brown, the producer and co-host of the program. With me in studio are Ed Riddell and Cal Carson.
And these are my favorite shows. This is where Cal and I get to just kibitz.
Well, you know something that young lady may have said, we're not taking the calls right now, but when we are live.
Yes.
When we are live, don't wait till the end of the show. Call early. Call often. And then that way you can get your call in rather than at the very end. We got to try and wedge you in that spot.
It is almost inevitable that we have a backlog of four or five calls at the end of the program, and we start the program up with one or two scattered calls, but I think people kind of work up their courage to get that. But you're right, Cal. You're so right. And by the way, folks, if you have a question anytime during the week that you'd like to get to us, I'm putting on our homepage, on internetadvisor.net, if you click on one of our programs, for instance, the podcast for this program, I'm putting a contact form at the beginning of it. And then also at the very bottom of the show notes, there's another space there where you can put in a question and send it off to us. And those will automatically come to our folks here.
Make sure that you put a valid email address in there.
Oh, yes.
Because we're not going to do anything with the email address. But if you want a response to your question, I'll spend and type in four paragraphs. It's frustrating when I get undeliverable message.
Oh,
and
yes,
I spent all that creative energy coming up with a possible reply to their problem.
Do you get that, Cal?
Yeah, every now and then. But you know what I tell them to do is I tell them to go over to the refrigerator right now, take a magic marker, and right on the front, write 1-800-859-0957, 4 p.m., 6 p.m., Saturday, and then just call it in.
Yeah, there you go.
We love it when you call.
We love you,
too. Okay. Because it can yak forever.
On rare occasions, we find ourselves like today, preempted by Michigan State University basketball. Football. Well, right now it's football.
Pick a sport.
Yeah. Lacrosse. Who knows? ping pong. Any case, we are here. We are still with you. Now, Ed, I postponed asking you this question so we could do the beginning of it.
Racking my brains out trying to think of the
answer. Okay, so the question I asked Cal before and I'm asking you now is, what's the best piece of advice about computers you ever received?
You know, I really can't think of one, but if there was one, it was always buy second gen. And that is because I'm a cheapskate, and that's why Rick and I get along so well, Rick Broida. I'm not going to go. When I used to build my own computers, I wouldn't get out the latest, greatest Intel processor or AMD, or if anyone remembers Citrix, I'd get last gen because, you know, I'm not going to spend $600 for a single processor when I could spend $250 for a single processor and it's only 4 months old, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that was my philosophy. But then that sometimes turns into buy cheap, buy often, especially in today's mobile phone market and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So especially with laptops. So if you're going out and getting a laptop for a college kid, you got to think, you have to put a little rationale behind it.
Yeah, you do have to think a little
bit
in the future.
So do you want to buy them the best of the best, knowing that you know they're going to smash it in that backpack of theirs? So when I...
By the way, that's the voice of experience talking.
I tried to talk my son into buying a $250, $300 laptop instead of a $900 laptop. I said, and I tried telling him, because if you break it, you could break it three times. And, you know, that you could get three laptops.
Yeah, but you know something, kids, you know, they're smarter than that. They know that having three mopeds is not as cool as having one Harley.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're going to go for the good stuff.
Well, but in his case, matter of fact, the laptop that he chose was was Sony, wasn't it?
It's still top of the line. Intel i7, quad core, and it still kicks butt.
But it still had some mechanical problems.
It like did.
With the hinges on it.
It did. The manufacturer cheapened it up the lid of it, and the plastic actually debonded itself from the aluminum
and
cover.
Isn't it true that Sony no longer services? Is it they?
They don't even make them, I don't think.
They
don't...
do now. For U.S. distribution only for
really?
One company, and who was it? I just read this because I actually, Microsoft Store.
Oh, no kidding.
When you said, when you asked me that you went into the Microsoft Store and they says, you said that you saw Sony Vios in there. They're trying to sell one of your grandsons. And I'm like, don't buy it. They're dumping that old trash because Sony's out of business. All right. Sony Vios. I turned out that's not the case. Sony is as a select market. They're manufacturing PCs just for Microsoft to be distributed in their Microsoft stores. Wow. And so and because with the problem we ran into is that the product lines for my that my children both bought Sony Vios is that because it went to a group of a holding company, right, for the stock and a bunch of lawyers owned it, they said, we don't support that anymore. We're not going to update those drivers so that they're Windows 10 compatible or Windows 8 compatible even. Oh, so we really ended up in a cesspool there with them, and I really bad taste in our mouth.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Oh, well, maybe you might want to go back because the ones they have in the Microsoft Store start off at $899 and can go as high as $1,600.
And that's what we paid for Talons was the $899. So, yeah, and it was a we always loved Vios. They were always considered top of the line.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And Sony. Put out some of the best, they at least they were alleged to have put out some of the best material.
Yeah, I was really disappointed in that hinge problem. But other than that, the great graphics card, just, yeah, wonderful computer.
You know what? Go ahead.
I think they did those hinges that way just so you can steampunk that thing.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I ever published it, but I put some brass pieces on the top of that thing.
I know. We talked about that.
Oh, that was awesome.
Okay, guys, we have promised to talk about the Google release this past week. When we come back, let's give some give some love to Google and talk about some, well, a remarkable series of things they revealed this past week. And they may make the whole computer run interesting. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown here. And we're just having a lot of fun this weekend. Gary is out. He is, as they, where the cat's away, the mice will play, you know, the old saying. And Kel Carson and Ed Riddell and myself, Foster Brown, are in here just kind of having fun chewing the fat about different products.
What sort of cat would we make Gary?
Cheshire.
Because he always disappears?
No. He has that knowing smile.
Yeah, he does have a grin.
Yeah, he has that knowing
it's
smile.
It's not that particular grin, though, is it?
Cheshire grin. Yeah.
All right, guys, we've been promising to talk about this for the whole program up to this point. Let's talk a little bit about the release this past week by Google. Was it a big deal? Was it worth, you think, paying attention to all the stuff that they put out there?
You know, it seems a lot of these companies that were search-based or software-based, like Microsoft and stuff, are coming out on the hardware side. They're they're taking the book just like Apple did, and they're coming up with their own hardware because you could make money doing that.
But the difference that I've noticed, though, is that when the software companies don't know how to market hardware.
Google certainly has been the proof of that.
Yeah, they don't know how to market the hardware. They know how to make it. They know how to develop it and create it.
Yep.
Software companies never had to market anything because, you know, Microsoft, did they have to run a commercial for Windows? Nah, not really.
No,
not really. You know, because it was there. People were just going to use it. But if they weren't traditionally a hardware manufacturer of such, they appear to do a very poor job at marketing stuff.
Yeah, I think that... Google, I think, is a very good case for that. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, Microsoft, too. Look what they did with their phone.
Oh, Lord. Oh, yes.
So their hardware...
Microsoft had a phone?
The only decent thing I think... I'm trying to remember. Xbox is a product line where they actually had a hardware product that took off. Before that, you had a mouse. You had the Microsoft mouse with
That's
the wheel.
That's true.
Before the Xbox, I really can't think of another hardware product. You now have
Surface. The keyboard. They had the ergonomic keyboard that they put out.
That's true.
That's a peripheral.
But even that wasn't a big... You know, when I say something's marketed well, it becomes common sense. Common sense. Just common. You know, it's like, you know, if someone says, I don't know...
It's water cooler.
If someone says, you know, pop, you know, you think Coke, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And they're not getting product like that.
Right.
Now, if you say cell phone... first thing you're going to think is iPhone. Even though everybody doesn't have an iPhone, iPhone is like the gold standard.
I don't think of that. Now, when I think of an MP3 player, I think iPod.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's a very good point.
But, okay, so back to the topic. Google released, what, the Pixel?
The Pixel, which was, there are two versions of the phone, the 5-inch and the 5.5-inch.
And the other one's called Pixel 60, right?
Right.
No, it's so. Pixel XL. I'm
yeah,
all
right, XL, right.
Right, which is, isn't that 60? No, I don't know. Or is that 40? I'm trying to think of Super Bowl language.
It'd be 40.
Yeah, okay.
Continue.
I know.
Like, I'm not going to go down the football path because I'll be lost.
Yeah, me too.
In any case, it's being built by Huawei?
Huawei, yes.
I think Huawei is building it. The Chinese firm is building it.
Yep.
But in any case, they're selling it, and you'll see this coming out soon. Pixel is going to be their phone. Remember, they had the Nexus.
Yeah, they had the Nexus, which is a very popular product. A lot of people are sad that it disappears. Our own Jim from work, who does the mornings with us.
He's still nursing one of those things.
He loves this.
Well, one of the things that was nice about it was clean. When you got it, you didn't get it with all sorts of garbage loaded on it.
Okay, now guess what? Here's how it works, and this is me just talking. You notice the Nexus was very clean, and it worked. It was done by Google, who also did the software for it.
Right.
So the whole thing was all made to work together.
Mm-hmm.
Apple made their iPhone, made by Apple. They did the software. Mm-hmm. It all worked together. So when it's done like that, it works really well. Now, why it didn't work the same way for Microsoft, I don't know.
I don't know.
But it should have.
Boy, they had great phones too with Nokia. The phones were actually excellent.
Oh, yeah. You know, and so I really think it has to do with their online store. You have the App Store from Apple. You have Google, you have the Google Play, and Microsoft, you have the Microsoft Store, and it's like, oh, great, I got six apps I want, you know? So And that's what the Windows 10, release of Windows 10, and the Xbox One, and supposedly the if they do come up with another, and their Surface, of course, they're starting to build with their Xbox and the Windows 10, their store is going to start building.
Well, they're trying to get an ecosystem into place.
Yep.
And I think
it's taking them a while.
It's going to take them a while because in my opinion, they're going about it the wrong way. The way that Google or Apple did it is they took one product and created a strong ecosystem around that one product. Then they brought in the next product and built it against it. For example, they started off with the iPod, then they had the iTunes store for it, and then that made a good solid base for it. And then from the iTunes store, then they slowly brought in the phone because the phone had a link to the iPod because it played music like it, so it built that part of the ecosystem. And so because the phone has a visual interface on it, now you can bring in movies and video, so that brought it into it. And then they linked the Apple TV to it, and then that came into it. So it's how you build that ecosystem, makes it.
That's true. That's
by the way, Ed, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was going to go on to our next topic. So we got not only the new phone.
Yep.
So Google announces the phone. They're also coming up with the Daydream View headset,
which is a VR set, I think. And the price point on that is $79. I think that's going to work.
$79,
I think it's for people who want to get into virtual reality.
That's a tank of gas. Well, it was a tank of gas 2 years ago.
Depending on
tell me a little more about Daydream. Do you use your phone like you do with the Samsung one?
Yeah, you slip the phone into the headset. And as a matter of fact, it looks like a rather nice headset, very comfortable.
Does it only work with the Google phone?
Well, good. Don't know. They haven't released it. These are just announcements of the product.
That just looks like a holder. From what I can see, this looks like a holder for
them.
Okay.
But for people who are into virtual reality, it looks like a kind of a cool thing.
Now, I would probably be a little more interested in Google Home, which is the virtual assistant that they have. So I can walk in and say, hi, Google. What's the temperature like outside or that sort of thing? Or can you, or I hope it's such that I can adjust things in the home.
I think with the success that they've had with Google Voice, and when you go to Google, you can ask Google things online, and it has for a long time. In my mind, it's been one of the most effective ones for responding to verbal commands.
Right,
they're really getting it. I think that could be a very, very popular. Now it's going to be going up against Alexa, which is the very popular Amazon home assistant.
Oh, Alexa! Oh,
the Alexa, you know, the speaker that they have in the house. You can ask Alexa. You can
the Echo.
Matter of fact, people are
Alexa's the name.
All over our listening audience, people who have Alexas right now are probably saying,
stop saying Alexa. Alexa, turn on the lights. Oh, sorry about that, listening audience.
Anyway, that's what Google Home is doing.
All right. I just saw on Google Home's going to be able to control some of my devices in the house, and I can even run my Nest thermostat with Google
Home. There you
go.
I know that you're big on that.
Now, one of the things I'd like to see is, I mean, one of the drawbacks is you have to be in a particular room for that. And where do you put the remote microphones if you're downstairs? So one of the things that Google's releasing also is the Google Wi-Fi. What they haven't said is that if you tie your Google voice-activated device to it, the Google Home, if you have the Google Wi-Fis, wouldn't it be nice? This would just make perfect sense to have a microphone in each one of these in the various areas of your house. And that way it would activate the other unit. It would just make sense that if you're throwing a repeater... If you're throwing a repeater in the house, which is what the Google Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah.
Why not
put
a microphone in there so that it can activate your Google Home?
Well, if you did that, then you wouldn't be able to sell multiple Google Homes that you'd have all over your house at $129 a crack.
Well, they all look like hockey pucks. What's the difference? They're white hockey pucks.
They just want you to buy more pucks.
Oh, I understand. Okay.
More bucks with more pucks.
There you go. And then also Chromecast, which has been around for a while. It's been one of the more inexpensive streaming devices is out there, been tweaked a little bit. I didn't see too much new with that.
You know, this is terribly sad. You know, 2 years ago for Christmas, I got Chromecast, and I have not taken it out the pack yet.
Oh, my.
I probably should do that just to make sure it still works.
And that's going to be going for like $69. Okay, folks, there we promised it are the Google devices that have come out. If you want to follow up on more of that, just Google. Google gadgets. Coming back, Ed's got something to say about Microsoft and some future gadgets there. Internet Advisor, in case you wonder what this is, Foster Brown, co-host and producer of the program, along with Ed Riddell and Cal Carson. And we've been talking about the various companies out there, Apple and Google, and some of the products that are coming up. And one of the things, was it you that mentioned beforehand, or maybe it was Cal, was that the companies are coming out with products instead of just being software companies.
Right.
They're also coming up with hardware. Microsoft is one that I think you was mentioned that one of the things they came up with was a real hit was the Xbox.
Yes.
That certainly was a super hit.
Oh, yeah.
And then we also can remember the Microsoft mice that came out and the ergonomic keyboards and things like that. Now, there's some rumors out there that there are some heavy equipment coming out, and we have a date apparently, Ed.
October 26th. So Microsoft sent an announcement to all the, to all people in the news media, basically saying, imagine what you'll do. What's next for Windows 10? And the date is October 26th. They're going to have a bunch of announcements. Mm. Of course, this just fuels speculation on what are they going to announce. Well, of course, you can expect what's next with Windows 10. Microsoft said it's their final Windows product. And what we'll receive now is just updates. But what can we expect from Windows 10? Also, the Xbox, too. Remember, we had a collaboration with when Windows 10 was released. There's a close tie between Windows 10 and Xbox. Anything that's on your Xbox, you could play on your Windows 10 TV if you have the proper, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch movies that are stored on your Xbox or music. So there might be some closer ties or an expansion to that. One of the things is... The rumor mills are saying is a Surface all-in-one unit. Expect Microsoft to start coming up with its OEM laptops and other devices.
Didn't they come out with it like 2 years ago that they had a huge
Surface?
A Surface was like a tabletop. They called it the Surface.
They called it the Surface before the Surface was released.
That's two years ago. That's right.
2 years. So it's 4 years ago.
Brilliant marketing.
Yeah. So it was called the Surface. It was about the size of an end table.
Yes.
And,
right.
And you know, Ted Fish on there, and you know.
And if you watch Hawaii Five-O,
yep,
you've seen that tabletop computer that they work with. You have the touchscreen, that kind of thing. I just saw it the other day, but Minority Report, that kind of thing, where you have this wall-sized. I had a special name. Do you guys remember that for the wall-sized Microsoft display? Oh shoot,
immersion.
No, I don't know. We'll have to have somebody Google for that.
Bing it.
Ed, I just saw something coming out here, guys. And you may kind of scoff at this, but apparently there is a Surface phone that is rumored to be coming out soon. This was leaked, apparently, from Microsoft Australia's Twitter account. Accidentally leaked the Surface phone specs through a tweet. And the screen I'm looking at now says it's called Microsoft Lumia. Now, they bought Nokia. And Lumia was the name of the phone brand that they had.
Yep.
My wife, Ginny, still has one that she's working with and loves the 1520. She loves the way the software works on it, et cetera. Apparently, it looks like there are two sizes of this that look like what Google did with the Pixel. There's going to be a 5-inch and then a 5.5-inch, roughly. Or with iPhones, it would be like a 7 and a 7S or a 6 and a 6 Plus.
Well, yeah, it'd be 7 and 7 Plus. Yeah.
Now, how large is the 7 Plus?
6.5.
Yes.
Really?
I'm 5.5 inches, pardon me.
I thought it was larger than that.
No.
Like the size of a shoe for some reason. No.
Because if you get bigger than that, you might as well buy an iPad mini. There you go, right there in front of you. He's holding it up to the microphone, folks, so you can see it.
Oh, that's pretty normal. It's about the size of my Android.
Yeah, exactly.
My droid.
the Samsung's Galaxy 7, about the same size as that.
Yeah.
So there's a rumor that they're going to come up with that.
Now, you know, what would be nice about that is to have a Surface is if I could pull up my Office 360 on my phone and while I'm walking around the building, oh, I need to have a hard copy of this. And I'd be able to then print out to any of the printers on my network because I'm VPN'd in. And the software would just tie so much easier into my office environment, which is a Microsoft shop.
Well, but Microsoft has, with Satya Nadella, who is the new boss there, moved away from where Steve Ballmer was going, which was a lot of hardware. He moved into making software, which very cleverly can work on everything. It can work on, for instance, Cal, on our iPhones. We can use Microsoft Office products.
Right. No, that's true.
Pretty much seamlessly on that.
Yeah, but can you print with your phone into your corporate environment? No. Ever since they removed the infrared on phones and printers, which was great because in our corporate environment, they would have these infrared things on there.
Oh.
And you won't find a printer with near field communications where I could just walk up, set my phone on it, and be able to then print the document.
Yeah, but you know what they do have, and I did this with one of our folks just this past week with Joe. They do have a wireless built into the printer, and you can air print directly into the printer from your phone or your iPad.
In a corporate environment?
Yes, sir.
They haven't found...
Well, let me rephrase that. To the individual printer, not to the network.
Not to the network, but to the individual printer.
So yeah, it's a replacement for the old IR type situation.
Oh, excellent. Well, that makes me feel a little better.
Doesn't HP have that, though?
This is an HP printer.
Yeah, because I have an app on my phone that I can click on, which will connect me to whatever HP's.
If you have an HP printer that happens to have AirPrint in it, you can do it that way, too.
Right, yeah, but good luck if you have a Microsoft... Surface, what is it, the RC? The original? What was it?
Yes. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Good luck trying to find drivers.
Oh, no.
I have several people that had that, and it does not work. The vendors and Microsoft.
Okay, let me jump a little bit here because you put me on this.
Okay.
At Micro Center, if you were in the Detroit metropolitan area, you can look for this. Otherwise, it might be worth the trip. They have a, what's it called? A Winbook?
Wintel?
I forget what it's called. It's a 10.1 inch tablet that actually is running Windows 10. It's got an Atom processor in it, so it's not blazingly fast, and it's got 2 gigabytes of RAM on it. Okay, but in terms of doing like email and things like that, perfect. And it's got a keyboard that is part of a cover for it. And the whole package together is like with a year of complete coverage for dropping or whatever happens, $140 for the whole shoot and match for Windows 10. And I'm coveting this myself.
The entire thing is less than what it costs to pay for the operating system.
Ed brought that up before. Isn't that something? That you pay, it was like $120-something, don't you, for the operating system for Windows 10?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, $119.
Yeah. And this, of course, has not got a lot of space in it, but there's a micro SD slot on it where you can boost it to like 128 gigabytes on one of those little bitty cards. And you're in business. And then store a lot of stuff in the cloud as well.
Well, conversely, that Microsoft big computer you were talking about, the 7 foot one, the wall size.
Oh, yeah.
One.
What is.
You could get that for a mere $19,999.
Oh, that's right. What was the name of it?
It was called the Surface Hub.
That's right. That's right. The hub. And I would bet some corporate environments that would be a steal.
That Micro Center was called a Winbook. I was right.
You're right.
And Winbook. It was the TW101. And a lot of guys at work use it because if you're familiar with gaming and we're familiar with Steam, which is a gaming platform for PCs, they could play most any game they want on this Winbook, the 7 or the 10 inch.
So, but one of the things that struck me about that is if you wanted just something to sit on the couch with to do, you know, your email or to do some word processing. For instance, you can get Office 360 online, and like I pay a subscription of $120 a year, and I've got 5 installs with that. Now, some of our grandchildren have installed. Jenny's got an install. I get an install for that, and I'm running away. I've got all things.
$140 bucks for this device.
Well, it was $99.
The device is less.
It was on sale 2 weeks ago for 2 weeks. Now it's back up to the regular $120. So whatever Foster's saying, you're going to add $20 to it. So.
Oh, okay. Well, when I was there just this last week, it was...
You used to pay Michigan State tax, and you were good to go. I just couldn't talk myself into it. You know, I just couldn't do it.
I think I need to have that in order to be able to see what Windows 10... to troubleshoot my wife's computer.
I got a feeling you'll be losing it to her, because she's going to look at it and go like, oh, why should I have this big desktop?
Well, she has this
lovely
little HP. Or does
she love the big screen?
What she loves is she has... No, she doesn't have a bigger screen. Hers is maybe only a 13-inch screen.
I think it was only a 13-inch screen.
A 13-inch screen. It's an HP Elite, so it's a laptop with a keyboard on it. This one, the keyboard is in the cover, and it magnetically snaps
it's a tablet.
Into it.
It's basically
a tablet. It's a tablet, basically.
Okay.
And but what's lovely about it, for folks out there who ask us, what should I get... Folks, if you're a grandma or grandpa, aunt or uncle who just simply wants something basic with which to do email and to maybe do some documents.
And you want to stay on the Windows platform.
And you want to stay on the Windows platform. What a steal.
Right. It's essentially a fully functional version of Windows.
Completely functional version of Windows. So that's one of the things that's already out there now. But it'll be interesting to see what's coming out on October 26th.
Yes, if Microsoft's going to come up with
a tablet.
You
know, everybody's shooting for Christmas. Yeah. This is pre-Christmas sales. Is Apple coming up with... Well, we'll ask Cal that again when we come back.
Apple's already done their deal.
They've done their deal. Okay. When we come back, I have a question about customer service for my two esteemed colleagues who are with me in studio here as we wrap things up here on the Internet Advisor. I certainly hope you've enjoyed our program today. A little different than what we normally do, where we have a guest on and we take technical questions that you folks are asking. Because we're doing this as a podcast and as a pre-record for our network as well, you kind of get to listen in as Ed and Cal and I chew the fat a little bit about some of these technical things that are going on. As a matter of fact, on the break, Cal had, and I didn't want this insight, if you will, to go missing, but you were talking about the person or the company that is able to come up with a specific kind of a device is going to be the winner in the near future.
Yeah, my thinking is clearly this. Somewhere out there right now, there is a angel investor that needs to invest money with me to come up with a device that will talk to all these devices. Because, if you live in any family house, you'll have people who, some like iPhones, some like Androids, some like Google stuff, some like Apple stuff, some people like Microsoft stuff. They, you know, all this different hardware, and every one of these ecosystems don't talk to each other very well. So if they were to create some sort of central hub where even if I brought in Apple TV, and yes, I like Chromecast, and I want to use that too, I can plug all that stuff into that central hub, and it talks to all my other devices, and I don't have to worry about, now I have to just use this remote control or that remote control. That would be optimum.
What is going to make that happen? What will be the incentive to make that kind of thing happen? Because they all seem to be building their walled gardens. The walls are getting built higher and higher, so they don't do that kind of thing. I say they, as in Apple and Microsoft. Not so much Microsoft. They seem to be kind of trying to bridge it.
part, it's either going to go one or two ways. It'll either go like cable television is going, where Comcast is just eating everybody up, and they're pretty much going to be the one monolith out there. And so if you want the good stuff, you go to Comcast. If you want to go to other places, you can, but you won't have the super spiffy stuff. Or someone has to go like, I'm going to create a utility. It's going to be called translation, and I'm going to make this device where you come with whatever you have. I don't care if it's a Xfinity cable television, or if you got an Android this or or this or that, and you just plug it into this hub, and it talks to
and
everything.
It just
in-house.
Works. Remember Steve Jobs' thing? It just works. That mantra was a real key. What do you think, Ed? What's it going to take for us to as consumers to finally get a product that really does work together with all these things?
It's going to take cooperation between all the different vendors to set up protocols and standards.
What incentive is there for that?
Well, look at the standard they finally set. You know, you used to be able to hook up networks using Vanyan Binds.
Yep.
You used to be using Novell's NetWare. You used to do that. Finally, it all settled out, and everybody's just using Ethernet and calling it a day.
Yeah,
and the Internet is the protocol of call.
So
TCP/IP,
that doesn't then become the issue. They move on to other things to make their money from it.
Yeah.
This reminds me of the old days with modems. Remember, he had all the different modem protocols? If you had a modem and you wanted to call up a dial-up bank, you may only get connected at 9600 baud. But if you had the U.S. robotics, you could have connected at 56K because you had an incompatible modem. Remember those days?
Yeah.
So the key is going to be somebody who builds that translator hub.
They'll either have to make a translator hub that will take all these crazy protocols and get them all together, or the manufacturers all have to say, you know something, we've been battling this way too long. It's easier and cheaper for everybody to write to one standard. We're going to call home automation 101, and then everyone's going to write to this standard, and that's how you make your products talk to home automation.
And it's a lot easier now because these devices are not hardwired, if you will. They are programmable, and you can do firmware upgrades.
Yeah.
So it's quite possible that if a future device comes out that it's not compatible, it'll automatically receive an update and make it compatible with, just like your printers. You get you've got a PC and the new printer comes out in 2 years, you know, that came out after your PC, it's going to have drivers that are going to be released that are going to be supported so you can communicate with that device.
And even if they are hardwired, today, everything is wired with, if it's hardwired, it's hardwired with that right there, your good old RJ45 Ethernet cable. That's pretty much the standard across the board.
This is along the lines of what you talked about, the Internet of Things and networking, you know, the front doorbell, along with the thermostat and the smoke detector and a whole bunch of other things. Maybe that's where the incentive comes from, is the world of the Internet of Things.
Well, that's true. I mean, if I buy a refrigerator that has part of a smart refrigerator that's part of the Internet of Things, but I have my Amazon Echo and it doesn't communicate with it, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to go out and buy the Microsoft, you know, Hulu device or, you know, whatever it's going to be.
Hey, a quick question for you as we wrap things up, guys. Cal Carson and Ed Riddell here, Foster Brown as well. I hope you've enjoyed this kind of rambling thing we've been doing with our podcast today. This is National Customer Service Week. What company would you say gave you the best customer service, Ed, in your experience?
And recently?
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but it was Hewlett-Packard. I used to be able to say Dell, but Dell,
you're right,
has their customer service has gone so bad. Where when we've called HP, you get someone that's knowledgeable and they listen to you and it's not scripted. You can explain what's going on. I'm just trying to open a ticket. I got a cracked screen. And they'll ask you a few questions and you're good. If I go to Dell, they're following a script and they say, "Well, did you try this? Did you try that?" You know, did you listen to what I said? I said I have a cracked screen and I have 100%. You know, it just seems the way a lot of the call centers, the way they go, instead of paying a little bit more for someone that's knowledgeable on the phone, they're going to get someone at an entry-level job and they're going to pay a minimum wage and they're going to follow a script.
Am I right, though, that call centers seem to be coming back to this country? I actually should probably confirm that with fact.
I don't think call centers are coming back, but I think there is a trend now to create new call centers within the country. and try to provide a service that feels more akin to the locale that it's being serviced.
My grandson, Anthony Stack, is part of the HP call center.
Oh, is he?
Here in the Detroit area, yes. He is part of that. Matter of fact, I think the county of San Diego is what he is servicing with the calls that come into him.
Because I was a former HP employee and very bitter at the way we were treated when they bought out EDS and what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, everything they took away from us and how they took advantage of us and they'll pay stuff like that. So I have a lot of bitter feelings about that. But I have to say that their call centers are really, really good.
Mm. So, Cal, how about you? What's your best experience of, we won't focus on the worst, the best experience of, customer service?
Are you talking about IT or just customer service, period?
Well, let's start with IT and then go on to...
Oh, let's see. God, that's hard to tell. You know, I just realized Nest. I had a great customer service experience with Nest about a month ago. Mm-hmm. My Nest smoke detector and CO2 smoke detector was having a problem. I couldn't get it to pair with my Wi-Fi.
Oh.
And I worked with it. And then finally, after using their website, which was really good, I ended up calling them directly and got a guy on the phone. And we walked through the entire process and worked on it and still couldn't get it to work. But the guy was very pleasant and extremely knowledgeable, understood the product, knew exactly what was going on with it. And then after we were all done, he shipped out a brand new one for me, and it was good to go.
Yeah, and you'll find that with a lot of startup companies like that.
Yeah.
Not quite startup. It's been around for a year or two.
Yeah. But yeah.